So we are on chapter The Vision of the World Spirit, the Double Aspect. So this is chapter 11 of the Gita, and it's like a grand culmination of a whole dialogue and discourse when Shri Krishna reveals himself in his Vishwarup. So the chapter is called as Vishwarup Darshana Yoga. And this vision is at once appalling, terrifying, reassuring, and it automatically humbles. If anyone reads this, one feels so humbled. We are worried, constantly battling the demons inside and all kinds of fears. But when we see this vision, even behold it with the mind's eye, it liberates. At least that's how I have always felt. It's a liberating vision, because you see that all is in the divine, all is moving by the will of the divine, all is a play of the divine. What we like and what we do not like, what comes into existence, what goes out of existence, all is the divine. There is nothing else but the divine. So it is very humbling. It doesn't mean we don't have a role to play. That comes later. But the first thing is that it's very humbling. And that's what Arjun reacts, responds like that. And then yes, it's also terrifying, because he who gives abhayam, that's how the Shastra says, his vision can be frightening. Frightening to whom? The Gita explains that it is frightening to the ego self, because it has no other option except to abdicate and surrender. So that's why we have in this vision that the Rakshasas and those, you know, Asuras, terrified, they are running away. That's how Arjun sees. But the Siddhas, the perfect ones, are worshipping with adoring eyes. So there are two kinds of reactions that this vision or this presence brings. One is that it strikes terror when one lives by the ego or for the ego, because it knows it is going to be swallowed up like a, you know, that wonderful light and fire all around. But on the other hand, the perfect ones, they feel that the last remnants of the ego will be gone, and now we will be living in the mighty embrace of the Lord. So this is how this is. And as Sri Aurobindo has said, it is one of the most wonderful poetry. So I just, again and again, I can't resist the temptation. So we have just a few portions. So there is Sanjay Uvach. When Sanjay sees that suddenly, so how does he explain? He says, Eva Mukta. So thus said the Lord, Eva Mukta Tato Rajan. He is addressing to Dhritarashtra. Eva Mukta Tato Rajan Mahayogeshwara Hari. That suddenly he reveals himself as the Yog Yogeshwara. Till now Arjun doesn't know. He is talking to him, and he will say this, that, oh my God, I thought that you are a friend. I've been putting my arms around you. I've been joking with you, all kinds of things. So he says, Mahayogeshwara Hari, Darshanaya Masa Parthaya Param Rupameshwaram. That the form of the divine. So divine is both formless and form. It's not like formless is the higher or this is higher. At once he is formless, and out of that form, this is not an inert formlessness. It's a conscious being in that state of formlessness. It can reconstitute its own form and reveal itself. Now it's not like this is the only form. He reveals itself according to the need of the moment and to the devotee for a certain purpose. So here he is revealing himself as the time spirit, because he is the upholder of the, he is the one who is going to decide the fate of men and nations. Though all of them are thinking it is we, but actually this fate of the nations has already been decided. It's very interesting. If you see the entire way, the time scale of empires, How is it it has run? So start from, you know, the Mongolian Empire to the Iranian Empire to still further down to the Roman Empire to the French Empire, the Spanish Empire to the British Empire. If you actually see, you will see that it's something else which actually shifts the whole needle, and men and nations helplessly just follow it. So, what does he see that he describes a long passage? Anek adhut divya abharanam. He is full of many divine ornaments. Divya ayudham, many divine weapons. Divya malyam bharam. He is full of many divine garlands. And divya gandhalepanam, that many kinds of fragrances are coming from. So there is a double aspect. That's why this chapter is called the double aspect. On one side, the part that he is pushing forward is his time, the destroyer. That's how he says, Kalosmi. I have come to destroy these people. But simultaneously, there is the other aspect, the aspect which is full of beauty, full of delight. And then he says, look, Arjun, see. So what is he going to see? Rupam Aishwaram, the Vishwarupam. See my form, behold my form. And the Aishwarya. Aishwarya here is all the splendors, with all the splendors. And he says that I have not shown it to anyone before this. So meaning thereby the Gita is the book. And as I have been saying, actually you don't find this description anywhere. People speak of the greatness and glory and splendor. But the form for the first time has been described in the Gita. After that there have been some descriptions of different kinds. So the special value of this form. So what does Arjun say? Arjun says, Pashyami, I am seeing. Pashyami, Devamastvadehe, I am seeing the body of the God of Gods. Sarvato Anantarupam, there is no end to your extension. Your form is extending beyond all limits. Sarvato Anantarupam, na antam na madhyam. Na panastvadin Vishveshwara Vishwarupa. That all that I can see is this whole universe is filled with thy form all around, and its effulgence is going far beyond my vision. Tejo rasim sarvato deeptimantam. Now like a thousand million suns are blazing forth in all the skies. That is the splendor and radiance of the form. Tomaksharam paramam veditavyam. The Vedas say you are the Akshar Brahma. Look at it. We hear about Brahman, but you are the one who is holding the Brahman. Thus the Vedas are singing your glory. Tomasya vishvasya param nidhanam. Thou art the supreme rest, supreme blessedness. The universe in its cycles goes to thee to rest. Tvama vyahava saswatam dharma gopta. You are the one who holds the secret of the eternal law of being. You are the one who upholds this law. And hence, sanatanastvam purusho matasme. That you are the eternal one, sanatan, whose form I am able to see. This is how I feel. So this is how Arjun starts. And then there is a prayer he obviously offered. Vyaptam Toyakan Devasva Sarva. I see the Godhead is filling all sides. There is no side which is left. And so he starts a prayer which is well known in the traditional circles. Just four lines I will read. Tomadi Devam Purusha Purano. You are the most ancient of the days. All else have come after you. Tomadi Devaha Purusha Purano. Stavamasya Vishvasya Paramam Nidhanam. You are the supreme rest of all this world. Vetasi Vedyam Cha Parma Cha Dhamma Toya Jatam Vishwamanantarupam. And then he sees all the gods inside the Godhead. Vayur Yamur Agni. Vayu Yam Agni. वायु यम और अग्नि वरुण शशांक प्रजापतिस्त्वम प्रपितामहश्च यू आर द ग्रैंड सायर ऑफ ऑल दिस प्रजापति ब्रह्मा विष्णु महेश ऑल ऑफ देम ही हैज डिस्क्राइब्ड ऑल द फाइव एलिमेंट्स ऑल ऑफ देम आई सी रेस्टिंग इन यू. नमो नमस्तु नमो नमस्तु स्तुसरकृत्ता पुनश्च भूयोपि नमो नमस्ते. दैट अगेन एंड अगेन ही जस्ट अडोर्स. ही सेज आई हैव नो वर्ड्स बट आफ्टर दैट ही सेज आई एम टेरिफाइड. सो ही सेज आई कांट बिहोल्ड दिस रेडियंस. इवन ए वॉरियर लाइक अर्जुन who is a dear friend prepared through the ages, terrified. People often say, why doesn't the divine reveal himself? Well, chinna chinna form is okay. But if he reveals in that splendor, where are the eyes to behold? He says that you can't behold it. So he says, out of my divya yoga, I am showing it to you first time in creation because there is a special work to do. So this is the background, and then of course Shobindu reveals the deeper sense of this vision. So page 388, rightly and in good place, he cries, Arjun cries, O Krishna, does the world rejoice and take pleasure in thy name? See, people don't realize. I have often heard, you know, so many mantras, and people say this mantra or that mantra. Now, what people don't realize, see, mantra will take you to whom? To the Lord. So can there be a mantra greater than the Lord's name? Just imagine. That's why Shobindu keeps saying, call the mother's name, call the mother's name, call the mother's name. At one point he says, there is no mantra in this yoga except the mother's name and mine. Why is this? He's not saying out of some, you know, emotionally to pacify us, placate us. It is true that there is no mantra that can be greater than the Lord's name. Because mantra is meant to lead you to somewhere. Not all mantras will lead you to the Lord. Maybe create a state of consciousness, maybe take you to the devata of the mantra. But when the Lord takes a name and form, what more you require? So Shobindu says that there is no mantra in this yoga except the mother's name and mine. Now the same thing we see in the Gita. What is Arjun saying? O Krishna, does the world rejoice and take pleasure in thy name? So what is the effect of the name? Simultaneously he is revealing. The Rakshasas are fleeing from thee in terror to all the quarters, and the companies of the Siddhas bow down before thee in adoration. The divine name has the power to drive away all the forces, even darkest ones. They cannot. And mother has said precisely this in one of her letters. Call my name when these forces attack you. They fly away when you take my name. They fly away. I'm sure this is the experience of many. It's been my experience. They just fly away. They're terrified. Because they know the name has the power to dissolve. And even in Savitri, we have this line in the world of falsehood. A prayer upon his lips and the great name. That's enough. But one has to take it, you know, with all that faith it requires. Even without that, how should they not do the homage? O great spirit, for thou art the original creator and doer of works. And greater even than creative Brahma. So we have heard that Brahma is the creator, but you are the father of Brahma, grandsire. And that's why his Shakti, or the Shakti of the Supreme, that's why somebody asked the mother. Mother, but we are told that Brahma created this world. And the mother says, haven't you heard that who created Brahma? Created Brahma. So this is the beauty of this form where you see the origin. O thou infinite Anantrupam, O thou Lord of the gods, Devadidevam, O thou abode of the universe, Vishvasya Paramam Nidhanam. Thou art the immutable, and thou art what is and is not, and thou art that which is the Supreme. So this is how he sees in him, thou art Vayu, Yama and Vayu and Agni and Soma and Varuna and Prajapati, father of creatures and the great grandsire. Salutation to thee 1,000 times over and again and yet again. Salutation in front and behind and from every side, for thou art each and all that is infinite in might and immeasurable in strength of action. Thou pervadest all and art everyone. So this is the meaning of humility. Humility has nothing to do with doing before other people, prostrating and saying, I am nobody and nothing. It's before the divine, I am nobody and nothing. Which is, you know, that's why it is said, the closer you come to the divine, the humbler you become. Because automatically the sense grows in you of something which is infinite, before which one is what? All these names and forms over which we quarrel, my deeds and, you know, my book and my this, nothing. It's before that vastness. So the closer we come to the divine, the humble we become. That's the sign of the Godhead, growing closer to the Godhead. So he says, naturally Arjun suddenly, but this supreme universal being has lived here before him with the human face. In the mortal body, the divine man, the embodied Godhead, the avatar, and till now he has not known him. Suddenly he says, I didn't know you. No, people, when somebody had gone all the way to Kyoto and asked the mothers, mother had stayed there with Professor Okawa and few others. So they asked, tell us about the mother. He says, she is a mother to you, but she came to us as a friend. And we were living so close to the Mount Fuji, that's in Japan, the volcano. We were living so close to the Mount Fuji that what could we understand of it? The power contained within. So it's not divine conceals himself. It's not that he is flaunting his greatness. This is a rare event where he has shown. Because it's so difficult to bear it. And that's how we see how people within seconds of passing before Mother and Shurbindo, their lives were changed, so drastically changed. So he says, he has seen the humanity only and has treated the divine as a mere human creature. He has not pierced through the earthly masks to the Godhead of which the humanity was a vessel and a symbol. You know how Amrita would go speak to Shurbindo, and Shurbindo would listen to him for 1 hour to a child's babbling. 13, 14, no? He is speaking in Tamil. Shurbindo doesn't know Tamil. He is speaking a word or two in English. He doesn't know English. Then one day when he has that vision complete of the, you know, that blue light and merging in his feet, and he goes around him on his birthday. And he says, suddenly it was night, and when he looked into his eyes, there were two lamps of fire burning bright, scattering the darkness. He says, all doubts vanished after that. This is just a little glimpse. So we can imagine what that glory is. So he repeatedly bows down and he says, he prays now for that Godhead's forgiveness of his unseeing carelessness and his negligent ignorance, because he has been like a friend and companion. So all the time, sometimes he puts his arms around and walks around and jokes, joking everything. And Shri Krishna is accordingly dealing with him. So Arjun feels that I have committed a great sin in this way. O Krishna, O Yadav, O comrade, not knowing this thy greatness, in negligent error or in love, and for whatsoever disrespect was shown by me to thee in jest, on the couch and the seat and in the banquet, alone or in thy presence, I pray forgiveness from thee the immeasurable. Now this is not just simply a dialogue put in there just to you know, make Krishna appear greater. There is a deeper truth in this little sentence which Arjun says. The same immeasurable, he is also the friend and lover of mankind. So we can deal with him like that in that human body, and is the mystery of the avatar that repeatedly Sri Aurobindo reminds us. That when the avatar takes a human body, participates in the human play, the human leela. It's a very nice little story about Lord Ram, that, you know, all the monkeys are putting his name, Sri Ram, and they're putting the stone, it's floating. And then Rama says, what is this about my name? So when you assume a human form, you have to bind yourself to the human leela. So at night he quietly takes from his hand and puts a little stone, but it drowns, plop. So Hanuman is watching, second stone, again it drowns. So Hanuman says, Lord, I'll explain. He says, see, whoever takes your name will cross the ocean, Bhavasagar, you know, ocean of life. But he whom you leave is bound to drown. So you're releasing the stones with your hand. So there are so many beautiful stories about the Lord and his name. You know, this used to be one of the things which was there as part of Indian culture, where we used to recite just the names of the Lord. And that's it. So he says that, well, O Godhead, bear with me. As a father to his son, as a friend to his friend and comrade, as one dear with him he loves, so shouldst thou, O Godhead, bear with me. He says that, I am sorry, but see, as a father, so in this fear there is a love also. So he says that, well, dads, friends, what do they do? So you please bear with me and forgive me. And then he says that, but this form is terrifying me. So he says, assume your four-armed form. That is the Narayana. See the difference. This Vishwarupa of Krishna is unimaginable. This is of the Godhead. It's not about Krishna. It's about the Vishwarupa which he has embodied within itself. And it's difficult for human nature or human being to understand that even the Kali, the mother who is slaying, is also mother. It's there as part of Indian culture. That you bow down to her, naked, fierce, garlanded with skulls. You bow down. Shiva, who is doing Tandav, destroying the universes, you bow down. Krishna, so it's there. But still, you know, the form when it appears can be terrifying. To at least, mother spoke, who gets fear when the time spirit manifests? She gave a message, and that's significant in these times. Men, countries, continents, the choice is imperative. Truth or the abyss. So the disciple asked, mother, what does it mean? She said, you see, there is so much hypocrisy in international relations these days. And it's a warning. She has given a warning 50 years back. 67, so 55 years back. She says, see, it's a warning. Because the divine has to give much advanced warning. Like Shri Krishna gives warning several times. He says, basically, if you have this lust for power, greed for money, you are going to go down the abyss. That is the abyss. But she says, but those who have surrendered to the Lord have no reason to fear. Because they are automatically saved. So that is what is the difference. So this form is terrifying as well as it is. So Arjun is terrified with this form and says, please, assume thy four-armed shape, O thousand-armed, O form universal. So here she says that this form has the hidden truth behind these terrifying forms is a reassuring and heartening and delightful truth, which is evident. So who has to be afraid of this aspect of the divine is the Rakshasa, the Asuras, the haters of the divine, those who want to deliberately turn away from the divine, those who want to follow their own paths of, you know, whatever ignorance, they have to be terrified. But this form commands not just reverence, but surrender and obeisance, obedience. So then now Sri Aurobindo speaks of the significances of this form. Page 390, the passage starts, "This is the truth of him in which all is reconciled, a harmony of simultaneous and interdependent truths start from and amount to the one that is real." So suddenly there is a, how is it a harmony? Because creation, destruction, sustenance, all are the one Godhead. They are not different beings. Like we want to pray to the God who is goody-goody. But the goody-goody, cutie-cutie God is also hiding behind him. That, you know, Shivatanda. So, they are one. They are not two. So, all of them are reconciled. After all, who is an Asura and Rakshasa? This terrifying form, when something of it wonders and believes that I am separate and one, I am alone. And so it goes. So that's what becomes an asura, because it's the force of the God which he carries with him. But this force, disconnected from its origin, at the service of the ego and the ambition, becomes the rakshasa and the asura. Even in ignorance, what is he trying? Rakshasa is devouring everything, all for myself. Now what is he doing? In darkness and by the way of falsehood, imitating the Godhead he denies. Basically, that's how in Savitri it is put. What does Arjun see? All the nations and all the human beings are rushing into his mouth. The same thing in ignorance, unconsciousness, falsehood, the asura and the rakshasa imitate. They want to swallow, gobble up everything. So what is the solution to them? When they meet this Lord, then they want to save their identity for some time. See how Ravan, he had understood, but he tries till the end. Kansa, he tries till the end to preserve, knowing very well that my day is going to come, because you cannot stand before that. So this is the truth of him. It is the truth of his supreme soul, of whose supreme nature the world is a derivation and an inferior figure of that infinite, of the ancient of days, Purusho Purano, who forever presides over the long evolutions of time, of the original Godhead, of whom the gods and men and all living creatures are the children, the powers, the souls. So this is where it is very reassuring. It's not like the world is cut off from God. So it exists within him. It exists by him. It exists for him, for the fulfillment of his will. So all is safe, ultimately safe. This is the vision we have to live with. Okay. So, page 391. There the soul of the seer of the vision. Now see, this is very interesting, that first time Shobindo is that moment, there is a seer which is born in Arjun, because he is the one given that vision. There the soul of the seer of the vision, page 391, is impressed by three successive suggestions. So there are three suggestions hidden in that vision. First, it is borne in upon him that in the body of this son of man, who moved beside him as a transient creature upon earth, and sat by his side and lay with him on the same couch, and one with him, ate with him at the banquet, and was the object of jest and careless word, actor in war and council and common things, in this figure of mortal man was all the time something great, concealed, of tremendous significance, a Godhead, an avatar, a universal power, a one reality, a supreme transcendence. It's important to understand this and to, you know, emphasize it again and again, because now there is a tendency to disconnect Shrivindo's yoga and make it philosophical and intellectual. It is the mystery of the avatar, which is very different, unique. When the avatar comes, and we have already read those chapters, then what is required? The divine is in front of you, with you, walking with you. People often ask me that, why did you join the ashram? Is it institution, all that? I say, I don't care. I have been never attached to any institution, frankly. But it is the place where Shurvinder and the mother lived. Their feet have trod there. They have breathed this atmosphere. That's my, you know, love for the place. All these brick walls they have seen. So that's become special. It's not about the institutions will come and go. They will build, rise, fall. All kinds of changes will come. Auroville is the mother's conception. It's not one of those places. So imagine that something which has been born from her womb, literally, because she has conceived. She says that who has conceived Auroville? Supreme Lord. Now imagine to be part of such a thing, which is, then the very fact you are part of that work, that's all that is required. So here is this first suggestion that people often say, oh, this birth date and then, you know, whatever they call after 5th December, 17th November, now who, what, these human questioning cease. It is the divine who has been the originator, divine who is conducting, divine who withdraws, divine who is taking us all. This itself is very reassuring. To this occult divinity in which all the significance of man, and he has assumed the human form because of that, and his long rays is wrapped and from which all world existence receives its inner meaning of ineffable greatness, he had been blind. Now only he sees the universal spirit in the individual frame, the divine embodied in humanity, the transcendent inhabitant of the symbol of nature. See, what did Sri Aurobindo write, you know, when people asked him about the mother? What does he write? The one whom we adore as the mother is the divine conscious force of the Supreme. People read it. After that, they again say, on 17th November 1973, mother withdrew. Somebody once asked, I said, you know, if mother withdraws even for a moment, this whole thing, this universal collapse, which mother withdrew? She has taken a human body and that's what makes it beautiful. Now by that, she has touched matter. Matter is blessed. And all of us to whom she has revealed something of her glory in whatever little way, minuscule way, that she is the mother, that's enough. So we don't realize the significance of the divine taking a human body. So Arjun realizes it. He says, I've been blind. How does he say that? This is a very nice and phrase he uses. Avajanam manusim tanumashitam. He says, I didn't know. I was an agyani. I didn't know that you are all the time the divine taking the human form in a human body. So this is the first suggestion. The divine assuming a human form, which is something so beautiful. So often we think Sri Aurobindo came, gave a teaching. We think of everybody. Like many masters come, give a teaching. And you have to follow the teaching and forget the master. We have such great people saying this that, you know, anyways, I don't want to take names. And even here he came and people, not in Auroville, in Pondicherry, and everybody ran to hear the lecture. He said, why are you holding on to Sri Aurobindo and the mother? He has given you a teaching. Now, you know, you in fact use the word throw into the sea. It's not required. And people have written book comparing him and Sri Aurobindo. So this is because we don't understand that the divine can assume a human body and what it implies. It has tremendous implications. But that's a different subject. So what is the second suggestion? But the second suggestion is that, page 392. But the second suggestion is that what was figured in the human manifestation and the human relation is also a reality. See, now this is very interesting. Which accompanies and mitigates for our mind the tremendous character of the universal vision. The transcendence and cosmic aspect have to be seen. For without that, seeing the limitations of humanity cannot be exceeded. In that unifying oneness, all has to be included. But by itself, that would set too great a gulf between the transcendent spirit And this soul bound and circumscribed in an inferior nature. So that's what people ask Aurobindo. That you are saying about the mother means that universal mother. No. He says, don't be under the something to this effect that this adverse asuric maya which tries to draw a wedge between the embodied mother and the universal mother. They are both simultaneous and both are important. Because if it is, and the reason is very simple, if it is only the universal mother, you can't connect like a human being. She is a universal mother to all creatures. To her, the serpent, the lizard, and the human, all this is part of the play. It's, you know, life, death is part of her. You can't appeal to her with a human sense and a human self. That's where a poem of Sri Aurobindo of Amalda, which Sri Aurobindo appreciated very much, that much I would be happy if you assume a human face. Same thing we see in Savitri. That I have seen so much, Savitri, and you look like a goddess. And that worries me. He says, that worries me because goddesses come and go away. Much I would be happy if you are actually a human. If your body can dally with fatigue. So there is a reason, there is a beauty that cannot be ignored. That, well, Shuddha and the mother are basically the divine which is within. Yes, but also the divine without assuming a form and name. They are simultaneous truths and each has its own importance. So he says now, a link is needed. Otherwise, what will be the link? A link is needed by which he can see this universal Godhead in his own individual and natural being, close to him, not only omnipotently there to govern all, he is by universal and immeasurable power, but humanly figured to support and raise him to unity by an intimate individual relation. So what comes from there? The adoration by which the finite creature bows down before the infinite receives all its sweetness and draws near to a closer truth of companionship and oneness when it deepens into the more intimate adoration which lives in the sense of the fatherhood of God, the friendhood of God, the attracting love between the divine spirit and a human soul and nature. So this is the link which comes when he takes a human shape. This is a vision of Medhananda, not a vision, it's an experience which he recounts, that, you know, he used to go out of the body and wander all around, and mother would say, don't do this, but that was something he had this capacity. So once he wanders far away somewhere in some planetary or galactic system and he loses, he doesn't know where he is, he doesn't know how to come back, and then he meets two tall beings and he tries to tell them that, you know, I am an earthling, there, this, that, nothing, they don't understand anything. Then suddenly he brings out Sri Aurobindo's name. So they say, oh, Sri Aurobindo's earth. Tuck, he finds himself in the body. There you go. So that is the orientation in those worlds. You know, that name itself resounds because it has a meaning. You form a bond with the divine as a human. You don't form bond with the divine in the universal divine and the cosmic and the transcendent divine. How do you form a bond with all our human feelings, strugglings, strivings, hopes, wishes, everything? So that's where the human body. Of course, there are other things also about the divine assuming a human body, which is not mentioned here, but Sri Aurobindo speaks about it. And from this, page 393, and from this second suggestion, a third immediately arises. The form of the transcendent and universal being is to the strength of the liberated spirit, a thing mighty, encouraging and fortifying, a source of power and equalizing, sublimating, all justifying vision. But to the normal man, it is overwhelming, appalling, incommunicable. So why this is so? When you see the divine is the destroyer and you are a liberated spirit, you don't care about death or life, then you are happy because you know, okay, death is nothing, but he is the one who is conducting this affair. He is the master of ceremony. even of death. He presides over death. But generally we see death as opponent, and God will save my life. God is the life giver. He is the health giver. He is the hope. But death, all that is problems, dangers, difficulties, they are somebody else, something else. So then suddenly when you see that he to whom you are going to give life, he is the one who is also going to take your life. It can be terrifying. Those who cling to life, who are terribly attached to it, they find this vision appalling. But those who are liberated, they are liberated from the bonds of life and death and birth, and they are living only to do God's work, they are happy. Super happy, actually. This beautiful one, Amal Kiran writes this. He says that, well, I am ready. If she calls me, I would say, hip, hip, hooray. And then he reminds actually why hip he is using, because his hip was, you know, he couldn't walk. So he said, here I come. That should be the approach, because then there is nothing to terrify, because it is the divine who is coming either which way. So he says it is terrifying to some, but to the others it is fortifying. The truth that reassures, even when known, is grasped with difficulty behind the formidable and mighty aspect of all destructive time and an incalculable will and a vast, immeasurable, inextricable working. But there is too the gracious mediating form of divine Narayana, the God who dwells within the human body, the one who makes human body his abode. So there are different meanings of the word, but the one which appeals to me and comes simpler and direct. So he says you bring that, because he has a limited role. He guides us through the journey of life. So he is the same vision. He is also the indwelling universal in each, as the immanent divine. The charioteer of the battle and the journey, with his four arms of helpful power, a humanized symbol of Godhead, not this million-armed universality. It is this mediating aspect which man must have for his support constantly before him. So while it is true that the divine is all, yet quite naturally we have this aspect of the divine where he nourishes, protects, helps. But at the same time we should not forget the greater vision which is behind. That's the take-home point. For it is this figure of Narayana which symbolizes the truth that reassures. It makes close, visible, living, seizable the vast spiritual joy in which, for the inner spirit and life of man, the universal workings behind all this stupendous circling, retrogression, progression, sovereignly culminate their marvelous and auspicious upshot. So this is the Arjuna's cry that, yes, now I have seen all, but please, sir, come back as my charioteer who is going to guide me through this battle. Not one who has slain Drona and Bhishma and everybody already. Even the Pandavas, he sees that even the Pandavas are going into him. He says that I cannot. Okay, I have seen, I am very happy with this, but as the charioteer, be the Narayana who will guide me through the battle of life. So this is where, and he says, the Godhead responds. The Godhead, in answer to Arjuna's prayer, reassumes his own normal Narayan image, Swakama Rupam, the desired form of grace and love and sweetness and beauty. But first he declared the incalculable significance of the other mighty image, which is about to veil. This that thou now seest, he tells him, is my supreme shape, my form of luminous energy, the universal, the original, which none but thou amongst men, has yet seen. I have shown it by my self-yoga. So what is self-yoga? The divine is always connected to man. Any time, in a moment, he can reveal. And always the revelation comes by the divine grace. But we have to be ready. Basically, it's that. So here, because of the great work and because of the prayer of Arjuna, he reveals himself, but momentarily by his own self-yoga. For it is an image of my very self and spirit. It is the very supreme self-figured in cosmic existence, and the soul in perfect yoga with me sees it without any trembling of the nervous parts or any bewilderment and confusion of the mind. Because he decries not only what is terrible and overwhelming in its appearance, but also its high and reassuring significance. As I said that, well, the moment we understand, all destruction also is happening within him and by his will, then that's a great reassuring truth. You don't worry, you don't get, you know, you play your role. But you understand that it is his will, incalculable will. And so you accept it, receive it in your life with surrender. And the understanding also comes. So this is that reassuring aspect. But that is, of course, the greater form of is for the highest soul. 394, few lines below. The greater form, and this is repeated again after it has disappeared, is only for the rare highest souls. The gods themselves ever desire to look upon it. It cannot be won by Veda or austerities or gifts or sacrifice. See what it is he is saying. You may have read the Vedas, given lectures on Vedas. You may have remembered the Vedas. You may have done great austerities, great sacrifice, everything. You can't see this form. Except, and now he gives the key. He's preparing us for the next chapter. It can be seen, known, entered into only by that bhakti. But what bhakti? Bhakti is not about just offering a flower, agarbatti, and doing, you know, dancing for some time and doing some bhajan. Which bhakti is it? Bhakti which regards, adores, and loves me alone in all things. So you see, it's the Vishwarupa. God the terrible. God the mighty, God the destroyer. So when bhakti becomes so universalized and deep that one sees the mother everywhere, in everything. Shubhendu says that actually in Object of the Yoga, I don't know why, you know, now we have so many practices which have come in the name of integral yoga. Today also somebody was telling me role of mental formations. I said, I was in this mood, you know. Eva mukta tato rajan yogeshwaram. I said, just think about it. What practice you want to do? Before this tremendous, powerful vision, if we just remember this vision, that's so much liberating. And well, once you know that, there's nothing else but complete surrender. Mother's last document is that, let thy will be done, let thy will be done, let thy will be done. What greater wisdom can there be than this? So only when we love the divine in all things that we are ready for this grand vision. By grand vision doesn't mean necessarily that he will appear like that. Shurvindo has a very lovely Vishwarup where he is conducting the Vishwagya. And Shurvindo himself once confirmed this to Niruddha. He says, yes, yes, but my Vishwarup is not like terrifying like Sri Krishna's, where he is all the Yodha warriors are crushed under his jaws. That's how he described Danta Karani. He says that was the moment, because he had to come as Time the Destroyer. He says it's different and much. It's there. People, I mean, have seen. It's something very beautiful. Here also we see the suggestions of beauty and all that, but it's in the background. Front is the destroyer. Last passage, few lines below. It is this that man can know by other means, this or that exclusive aspect of the one existence, its individual, cosmic or world excluding figures, but not this greatest reconciling oneness of all the aspects of the divinity. See why it is beyond the Upanishads and the Vedas. That's what I keep saying, that you know, you can know this aspect to that aspect. You can know as Akshara Brahma, or you can know him as this God or that Godhead. All this one can know by certain practices, but not this. And this is the ultimate. Why not know the ultimate when ultimate has come for us assuming a human body? So here he says, but not this greatest reconciling oneness of all the aspects of the divinity in which at one and the same time and in one and in the same vision all is manifested, all is exceeded and all is consummated. For here transcendent, universal and individual Godhead, spirit and nature, infinite and finite, space and time and timelessness, being and becoming, all that we can strive to think and know of the Godhead, whether of the absolute or the manifested existence, are wonderfully revealed in an ineffable oneness. So again he says, how to reach this vision? Arjun is blessed. Is there a way we can also? Again, it won't appear like this. Because that is for that moment. Shobindu repeatedly says, that's for that moment. But there is an image or the rupam, Vishwarupam, where all the three are reconciled. One can at the same time experience the individual, the same form, and the wish, the cosmic aspect and the transcendent, all three. So how to reach there? This vision can be reached only by the absolute adoration. What is adoration? It's nothing else you can imagine which is greater. That's how you adore something, none whom you can love more. And all whom you love ultimately you see are reaching here, and in that little sweetness here, little love there, little, all of them are coming from him. And to see him in the wicked and the violent Savitri toward the end, the Lord, when he shows that great vision and gives the boon, what does he say? Because you have not run away from the work in time, therefore I am granting you this. I bind you to my yoke of works. And then says that you will love me in the wicked. Even in that, your heart will be compelled to love me. So this is how we can understand a little bit of the mystery of the divine. This vision can be reached only by the absolute adoration, the love, the intimate unity that crowns at their summit the fullness of works and knowledge. This is what is important, that works, knowledge culminate in love, and an absolute love where one sees the same divine in everyone, in every which way. Last passage, page 395, third line from above. This is difficult indeed for limited man imprisoned in his mind and body. But, says the Godhead, be a doer of my works. Accept me as the supreme being and object. Now, whom is he saying? He's not trying to, saying, take a sword and go and turn everybody to Krishna. No, he's not saying that. He's saying to Arjun, to one who wants to have this vision, to one who wants to arrive in yoga. It is not meant for now. Everybody has to believe that Mother and Shrivindu are God. No, it is for those who are already in yoga, on the path of yoga, and how they have to adore. So he says that, be a doer of my works, accept me as the supreme being and object. Become my bhakta. Be free from attachment and without enmity to all existences. For such a man comes to me. This is our take-home point. Engage in the works of the divine. Love him in all creatures. Regard him as the supreme. Surrender oneself completely to him. And as he says, accept me as the supreme being and object. Become my bhakta. So be free from attachment or enmity, either raga dvesha. Because naturally then that absolute giving to the divine will not be there. So there are people, the world, you are close to some, far from some, different ways life will unfold. But attachment should be only to the divine. What it means is that if there is ever a choice, see, you want me or you want all these things? Without a hesitation, one should say, you, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times you. If the prize be everything is taken away, it's too little. It's nothing. So this, not that the divine will take away, but he is, you know, because that's called attachment to the divine. It cures one of all other attachments. That doesn't mean that one doesn't smile, doesn't meet, doesn't, you know, starts going loggerheads with everybody. On the contrary, one is much more full of sweetness and love, because now it's the divine love which begins to inhabit. And of course, no enmity with anyone, because in everyone, it is the one Vasudev, Hari, the Divine Mother who dwells. So we'll stop here and continue next to next week, I think. Chema.